Father, I thank you for this time to given me to speak and to share. Father, I pray that you would bless this time, Father. I pray that you would give me the words to speak, Father. I pray that your power would be on me to speak them, Father God. And I pray that you would have mercy on me, Father, and help me to speak what you want me to speak, Father. And I pray that you'd give each of us open hearts to hear what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I started thinking and praying about what I was going to say and what I should talk about. And it wasn't probably until halfway through my planning that I realized this is actually the first Sunday of the new year. So I realized, oh, well, on the first Sunday of the new year, I guess you're supposed to say something about the new year, you know, and it's like the new year and we're supposed to, I don't know, whatever you're supposed to do in the new year. I guess lots of people make New Year's resolutions, so. So I'll talk a little bit about that, but I guess this, what I'm going to say hopefully is something you can apply to your life, try to your best to apply to your life in the new year. I think lots of, the new year is a good time for us to sit and look back and say, what did we do right and what did we do wrong and what do we want to do in the coming year? And a lot of people make New Year's resolutions, and that can be good or bad. I think it's a good thing to set goals. I tend to be one who's kind of, when I was growing up, I didn't want to set goals because I just want to be free to do whatever I want. But now that I'm getting older, I'm learning that goals can be useful. At least because, so for example, at work, I tend to get really, I get easily distracted. I work on a computer, so it's easy to get, you know, I work around a lot of people, so it's easy to get distracted. So I try to set a goal that this day I'm going to, you know, do this much work. Because I don't really have deadlines or anything, so which makes it kind of difficult. So I say, I'm going to do this much work, and then a lot, you know. In order to finish this much work, I need to do this much work every, like, 15 minutes. And then I try to make sure I do that much work every 15 minutes. And then I find that I actually get something done. But if I don't, then I just tend to get distracted and things. So I think goals are important, and they're useful in that way. There are some good books. We don't have our library today, but there are some good books on setting goals. How to Succeed in the Christian Life by Brother Zach is a good one. If you want some useful information on setting goals. But as the new year comes, a lot of us maybe start thinking about what do we want to accomplish, what do we want to do this year. And I think the question, so there's a lot, kind of, at least for me, there's the inclination of what do I want to accomplish. So usually people set New Year's resolutions, you know, I want to lose like X pounds or I want to stop smoking or whatever. And those are good things to do. But, you know, the question asks, what does God want us to do this year? What does He want for us? And that's kind of what I want to talk about. And after that, we should ask, how should we go about accomplishing it? So lately in my Bible reading, I've been studying John, the book of John, in my daily dynamic encounters. If you guys don't know about those, we have a book on that too. That's basically just my morning devotion. So I've been studying the book of John a lot. It's a really cool book. And I've been studying a lot John 3, which most of you guys probably know John 3:16. That's like the passage a lot of us get taught when we're little kids. So I'm just going to read from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light, for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. So I've been studying this passage for, I studied this passage for a long time. And one thing I guess that I've always kind of thought about, maybe, I guess this is probably obvious to a lot of people, but I've always, what does it really mean to believe in God? What do, you know, what does that really mean? We talk about, well, you know, even the devil believes in God, so obviously that can't be just the thing to be saved. So it's not really what I'm going to talk about, but I'm just kind of giving you background. This is how I started the whole thing, my whole thought process. So I looked up the word for believes in the Greek. I took 4 years of Greek, so often when I get confused, I look it up in the Greek, not because, I find that sometimes a word, for me, it helps because sometimes a word has multiple meanings. Like the word believes, we can think of it in all sorts of ways, but if I read the definition, the Bible was written in the Greek, then sometimes it helps me get a better idea of what exactly that word means in that context. So, I looked it up, and I mean the English translation is very good, so I don't think you have to like go learn Greek or something or look in the Greek translation, but it's just something that helps me. It doesn't seem to help other people as much. Maybe that's just because I took Greek, but so I looked this up, and it means the word. I actually knew it. I learned it when I was a Greek student, but it means believe in. It means believe in, have faith in, trust in. And so the thing that I began to think about, and that I'm going to talk a little bit about today is trusting in God. So I started thinking to myself, what does it mean to trust in somebody? And that was kind of an amazing thing to me to think. So whether you think it means believe in or trust in, I think we all kind of agree that we need to trust in God. I started thinking, if I really trust in God, what does that mean for my life? If I trust in somebody, if I say I trust in you with my life, that means that whatever you say I should do, I'm gonna do that thing. If I really trust in somebody, if somebody says, go do that, if I trust in them, I'll believe that what they want for my life is best for me, then I'll do what they say. And I think it's a common thing, lie of the devil. Often we start thinking, people start thinking God doesn't love us, God doesn't want the best for us. A lot of, you know, there's all sorts of images people have of God, you know, of God not wanting the best of us, of just wanting to harm us and stuff. But if we trust in someone, if I say I trust in you, that means we believe they want the best for our lives, and that means that if they say do something, we should follow it. And I know for me myself, I was thinking about it, there's not really too many people I can say I trust in. I don't think there's really anybody I could say I trust in completely. I don't know if it's a Boston thing or, I don't know, I think maybe it's people from Boston or maybe it's just, I don't know. We tend to be kind of, maybe it's MIT people, I don't know, we tend to be kind of skeptical. At least I am. So if somebody tells me, you know, this thing is true or do this, you know, I want to know their source or I want to know the reason why. And so I don't tend to trust in people readily and easily. But that's what we need to do. And kind of along those lines, one thing I've also been thinking about a lot lately is just the idea of, so we should trust in God, but so there's a way that might look right to us, and there's a way that looks that God might tell us to, there's a thing God might tell us to do, and it might not make sense to us. And I've been thinking about a lot lately about how, so I've been raised by, you know, human beings, I've been raised by my parents and everything, and what I've been raised to think is the way to live, what I've been raised to think is the right thing to do, what logically and intuitively makes sense to me might not be what logically and intuitively makes sense to God. You know, we're all raised in a certain way. We all have ideas from our parents that we've picked up, ideas from our friends that we've picked up. But if most of the people around us aren't Christian, there's a good chance that the way we've been raised to think isn't necessarily the way that's right for God. There's in a verse that's kind of always stuck with me along those lines is Proverbs 14:12. I'll just read it to you. It says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death." That's repeated twice in Proverbs. There's a way that seems that might seem right to us, but in the end it might lead to death. And so we can't just go in this world following the ways that would naturally seem right to us, following the ways that our friends seem right to us. We need to seek out God and find out and trust in Him that even if what He's telling us to do looks a lot different from what everyone else is doing and what everyone says we should do for success, that we need to learn to trust in God and follow Him. It says in Proverbs 3, verse 5 through verse 7, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil." I'll read that one more time. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." So that's a verse I've thought about a lot. 3, 5 through 7. And so I've been thinking a lot about, so there are kind of the obvious things. Maybe you were raised to think that, you know, to be successful, you need a lot of money. And obviously the Bible says, doesn't show that to be true. Jesus didn't have a lot of money. His disciples didn't have a lot of money. In fact, they gave up most of their things. It says they sold their things and they gave them to the poor. They all put their money in collectively. So the idea that you need money to be successful or that's the way to go, that's one thing you might have been taught, and the Bible doesn't necessarily, isn't in line with that. Like it says, money can, it's something that can easily lead us astray, the love of money. You might think, you know, if, I need a, some, you know, you might have been raised to say, I think, I need a bachelor's degree to be successful, or I need a PhD to be successful, or I need a high school diploma to be successful, or, you know, maybe if your family is all athletic, you know, I need to be able to run, like, I don't know what, my family's not, so I don't even know what a good running thing is, but, you know, I need to be able to run X number of miles in so many minutes. And we might have been raised to be that way, but we need to, and so we need to get rid of those ideas and seek out in the Bible what is it that God says. But there's even more, those things, you know, I think for myself, they come kind of, I realize those things aren't, I read the Bible and quickly realize those things aren't what God necessarily wants for me. But I'm starting to wonder whether there are even more, you know, there are some things I read in the Bible and I'm like, man, how could God want this to be that way? Or, you know, there's a way of God that I just know I don't understand yet. And I'm learning to, when I think that something in this world looks like it logically or intuitively should be true, to check myself and realize that it might not be the way that God thinks about things. And so we've been reading the Bible through, we've been trying to read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation a month. I've gotten about to the beginning of Leviticus, so I've gotten through the story of how the Israelites flee from Egypt. And so I was just thinking about the other day, so if I told you there was a man, and I told you, well, this man, he got lost, and, you know, he was in the desert, and his car broke down, and he had no gas, and he had no phone, he had no radio, he had no way of getting in touch with anybody, no one knew where he was, because he hadn't told anyone, he'd just driven his car out there, and he was in the middle of the desert, and he had nothing with him, no way for anybody to find him, he didn't have a clue where he was, it was a huge desert, and he didn't know whether he should go this way, that way, or that way. And I would ask you what would happen to this guy, you'd probably tell me he's probably going to die unless something happens, you know, unless something intervenes, unless maybe his family members say, oh, where is he, and then they call the police, and then they find the tracks or something, and, you know, they send a helicopter, and they somehow find him. We wouldn't expect this guy out in the middle of the desert by himself with no water, no food, whatever, to probably survive. And so in our logic, in our the way we would think of things, we'd say, okay, this guy's going to be dead, right? And if you read the story of the Israelites, that's pretty much what they said. They said, you know, what did you bring us out in this desert to die? You know, we want to go back to Egypt. You know, we're just going to die. We're going to wander here forever. This is going to be our grave. They said, because to them, logically, they were thinking on the terms they've been raised on. If you go in a desert, no water, you die. But that wasn't the way with God. You know, that God sent manna from heaven, and they woke up, and they had food every morning, and water came out of a rock, and that kind of thing. And, you know, to take it further, if I were to tell you there was a large group of civilians, you know, women, children, and then, you know, their husbands, they were, you know, fighting men, but they're all at the edge of a great river. Here's a river, here's the people, and then this huge army who's all trained, you know, and ready for battle comes running after them. Chances are you're going to expect most of these people here are going to either be captured or died, and all their things are going to be taken from them, you know, which is what the Israelite people thought. They thought, oh, you know, here we are at the edge of a riverbank, and there's a big army coming towards us, and, you know, they're expecting they're going to be stuck there and they're going to die, but no, God parts the Red Sea and they all walk across, and then all the people they're expecting to kill them die. And even I was just thinking, if I were to tell you, you know, there's a group of people and they're all enslaved to this ruler, and they're slaves, and, you know, this ruler really doesn't like them and he makes them work really hard, you wouldn't really expect that. If I were to just tell you, and we're just going to go say, free us, and they're somehow going to get free in the end, you know, you'd think there'd be only, at least me, I would expect there'd be only one way for those people to get free. Maybe a few of them could escape, but never all of them. You know, a few of them could sneak away, kind of like people did in the Underground Railroad. They could run away, and maybe a few of them could get free. Or something would have to happen, maybe like the slave owner's heart would have to change and he'd have to realize, oh, there's something wrong with the slavery. But in the story of the Israelites, neither of those things happen. But somehow, you know, God brings them and they get free. But I'm reading over and over again, these Israelite people, they didn't see the way God saw. They didn't see the way Moses saw. And they thought, oh, we're trapped here. And, you know, they said after Moses goes and talks to Pharaoh, they say, and Pharaoh, he doesn't want to free them. They say, may the Lord look upon you and judge you. This is what they say to Moses. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. And we hear over and over again these Israelite people complaining to Moses, giving Moses a really hard time. At one point he says he thinks they're going to stone him to death. You know, and I thought to myself, you know, here's God's bringing them out, and God did all these miracles, and they're getting out, but they still have this heart. And I thought, what could have been, I kind of thought to myself, the thing is that Moses had a walk with God. Moses knew God. He knew God's heart. He knew God could do all these things. But the people didn't really have a walk with God. Some of them did, and those people, you know, end up, well, some of them, a few of them trust in God, and they end up getting into the promised land. But most of them, they didn't have their own walk with God, and they were looking at it from the human perspective. The human perspective is, okay, we're in this situation, and unless something happens for us, it's going to fail. But Moses looked at it from God's perspective, which is, you know, that God can save us. God has more power than these Egyptians. And so, just this one way, we need to get close to God like Moses did and come to understand God and understand his perspective rather than our own. Just one more example, kind of off from the miraculous situations end of things, is in Mark 8. Probably you guys know the story. Verse 31. So this is it says, Jesus began to teach them, the disciples, that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. Get behind me, Satan, he said. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. And that's kind of a verse that just struck me. Jesus was saying, you know, he's going to go there and be rejected and die. And I guess it's kind of a natural, you know, if we hear someone saying, I'm going to die, you know, all these people don't like me, and they're going to, we probably would tell them, you know, I don't know, stop, I don't know, thinking badly or something. Don't, you know, it's not good to be discouraged or something. But he told him, you know, he told Peter, you don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Peter didn't understand that Jesus had to die. He didn't understand that that was part of God's plan. He was thinking from sort of the human perspective, you know, of self-preservation and that kind of thing, but not from God's perspective and of what God wanted to do. And there's just so many things I read in the Bible that I'm reading now, and I'm seeing how, you know, it's not what most people would tell you to do, not when, you know, there's love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that they may be sons of your Father in heaven. You know, and there's the, if someone goes with you 1 mile, if someone makes you go with them 1 mile, go two, you know, and, if, you know, give of those who ask for you. And those aren't the kind of things, you know, we're taught, like, don't let people walk all over you, and, I mean, you shouldn't, but, there's a way that seems right to us that isn't right to God. And I'm just realizing more and more how much my mind needs to be changed to think along the godly perspective. And I guess there's a tendency in sort of human ways to make these kind of rules, like, you know, not rules, but if you do X thing, then Y thing will happen. Like, if, you know, we always kind of think, if you do this thing will happen. If you do that thing will happen. But in God's book, what we naturally think, if you do this, that will happen, might not be the case. You know, I can think of a lot of us, people have said, you know, you need to put schoolwork before God. You need to put money and your family before, you know, career before God. But it's God who will sustain you, you know, and so many of us can say where we put God first and our schoolwork or our money second and how he blessed us. I'm thinking, you know, in my own life, you know, my parents, often say, you know, put God, you know, you need to well, my parents aren't too, they don't really say it, but they kind of imply it, but, they want me to make sure I have a high paying job, make sure I put my all into my schoolwork, and they see kind of this God thing as something that I put too much into. But I know if it wasn't for God, I could maybe be, I might be able to be doing those things. But I definitely, if God hadn't come in and changed my life, I wouldn't be happy. In fact, I'd be really miserable. And I say that, like, in total truthfulness. I mean, maybe that's, like, something that a lot of people say. But I know it's true for my life. So, all that being said, there's a way that, like I said, there's a way that looks right to us, but might not be. And God might tell us, so we need to learn to trust in God. We need to trust in God and not trust in our own, necessarily trust in our own logic. I'm not saying, like, throw everything you know out the window, because there are lots of good things you know. But if God tells us to do something that sounds not like what we were planning to do, not like what people are telling us to do, we need to be willing to trust Him and do it. So how do we come to trust God more? One is just, like I said, be open to the fact that what seems logically okay to you might not be what the best thing. You might not know. So you might think this job or this school or whatever is, you know, the best thing for me, and everything about it looks good. But God might know that something you don't know. God knows what will happen 50 years down the line, knows what will happen 10 years down the line. He might know there's someone at that job who will lead you astray. He might know that this other job that doesn't look too good is where you'll meet your spouse or where you'll meet someone who will put you into an even better position. And also resist the temptation to take things to, like, so if God tells you to do something, also resist the temptation to just take things into your own hands. Trust that God will bring things to completion. So we all know the story of Abraham, and God promises him he'll have a son, and he sees he's not having a son, and he's like 100 years old or something, and about, and 99, I guess, maybe. And he thinks to himself, well, I'm too old to have a kid. I'm getting too old to have a kid. My wife's getting really old. So, you know, and God promised me a son, so the best way to have a son is to go sleep with my wife's maid or whatever and have a child by him, which is not what God wanted him to do. God, because he was thinking in terms of the human perspective, okay, you know, women's bodies after X age, they stop having children, so, okay, not going to have children by this lady, so let me go find another one. But if he thought in terms of God's perspective and actually went and asked God, hey, you promised me a kid, I'm not having a kid, well, you know, what's going on? God would have told him what he ended up telling him after he promised him kid a second time, that he would have a child by his wife. Another way to trust in God, I encourage you, remember the things that God's done in the past, both for you and also in the Bible. It's good to keep a record of the things God's done for you in the past. You know, begin to trust God in the small things. If you have trouble trusting God, you know, ask Him to do something little, and then trust Him in something small that you can trust Him in, and, you know, it will work out for you. And then, you know, record it, and then begin to trust Him bit by bit in the bigger things. If you read Psalm 77, it's just, it's written by Asaph, and he says, you know, has God forgotten me? He's saying, is God forgotten? He thinks God has forgotten him, and he's just kind of, he's groaning, his spirit grows faint, he's too troubled to speak. And it says, then I thought, in verse 10, then I thought, to this will I will appeal, the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. The arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth quaked and trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, though the footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So he's like, he's in despair. He doesn't know what to do. He thinks God is far from him. And he thinks back to the things God has done to him in the past. And brings those up before God and trust in God as those things. It's a very, at least for me, it's a very easy thing to, God's done lots of big things in my life, but it's easy to, like, I forget, there was some situation where, you know, I was getting really worried, and I was like, oh, this thing is not going to work out, what am I going to do? And then I realized, like, the past three times that exact same thing had happened, I thought the exact same way. And then, you know, God had helped me each and every time, but in very, like, very clear ways. But each and every time I was like, oh no, what am I going to do? And then I prayed. So it's very easy, I don't know, at least for me, to forget the things that God has done and get stuck in that situation. But I encourage you to look to God. And you might not have a long list of things that God's done for you yet, or you might. I know for me, when I was a little kid, I had a lot of things that God had done for me already, but I kind of forgot about most of them. And then when I ran into trouble, I just kind of forgot about that God had helped me in the past and didn't seek after him. And then ended up getting myself into a lot more trouble. I'm becoming more and more convinced that God can do anything. I think for, maybe, I don't know, I mean, that's kind of like an obvious thing to say, but maybe, I don't know how many of you actually believe that. As some of you know, I guess when I was here at MIT, I had a lot of problems with, well, some people don't believe in demons, but with demons attacking me and stuff, I had a lot of problem with depression and, I don't know, lots of problems. lots of what people would say are mental health problems. And, you know, I thought to myself, I prayed the whole time, and I trusted in God that he would get me through the small problems, but never in my mind did I ever think I would be completely, like, better. And I don't know if you guys have experienced, I guess I used to work as an EMT, and I worked on a transport, that's like, I drove an ambulance, and I worked on a transport truck, so I basically just, I brought people from, like, if they were in a nursing home or whatever, I'd bring them to the, I basically brought people from hospital. So most of my transports were probably mental health patients, basically people who had been, you know, dropped off at the hospital, and now they needed to be brought to the mental hospital for their treatment. And, you know, I read over and over again, I see those people, and I see the way people looked at them, and I could tell no one really expected them to get better. You kind of expect, you give them a lot of medication, and then they'll be sort of okay for a while. I don't know how many reports I read that were like, you know, I came to this hospital on Monday, they gave me some medicine, I felt really great, you know, Monday through Sunday. Then Sunday, you know, I crashed and it all came back, and here I am again. It's Monday, and a week later, they're back in the hospital. Or maybe it will last longer. A lot of people, they're right. I came here a month ago. They gave me some medication. It worked great. I took the medication. I started feeling really great. And then I was on the medication for a month, and I started feeling so great, but this medication really makes my mind feel kind of weird, so I don't like the medication. So I stopped, and they stopped the medication, and now I'm back here in the hospital. And then they'll just put them on the same medication, and the same thing will continue. And so they're basically, they're not cured, they're not healed, they just found a medicine that will keep them better as long as they take it. But not really better, just kind of in a better state than they were before. Just waiting till the next crash. And so I guess I never really expected to get out of the problems I was in. I expected I would get better. I never took any medicine or anything like that. I thought about it once, but I never did. And I'd say that while I was, you know, there are things that I said to myself, I'll never get out of this. Like, I said that in my mind, you know, like, maybe it's gonna get better, but I'm gonna have this all my life, you know, and man, this really stinks. And, but all those things that I've said that about are gone. And so, at this point, you know, for anything that comes into my life, a lot of times the devil wants to make me think, well, be worried, you know, this is not gonna get fixed, you're just gonna have this for the rest of their life. And, but I've learned now, you know, if I actually think about it and remember, I've learned that that's not true. There's nothing that, there isn't, God wants us to be perfect, He wants us to be complete. And, so I guess lately I've been applying that to, my sin, you know, I want to say, oh, well, I have this sin. I was born sinning this way. I'm going to keep sinning this way. You know, I'm stuck. I can't get out of it. And I say, no, that's not what God says. God came to save people from their sin. And so if I trust in God and believe in His promises, then I should believe that I can be freed. So also, pray and ask God to help you to believe and trust in Him. I think a lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't think God likes them. They think God's against them. You know, all sorts of things. So pray that God would help you to trust in Him, to believe in Him. You know, the story of the man who brought his son to be healed, and I don't remember the exact story, I meant to write it down, but, you know, he says, I think he says, if you can do it, heal my son, or something. And Jesus says, if, you know, he says, you know, if you have faith, God can do anything. And the man says, help my unbelief. He asks God to help him, and his son does end up getting healed. So you can ask God to help you to believe, and pray and read the Word of God, and strive to really know God, because, I'm sure as many of you, if I just meet a random guy on the street and he tells me something, I probably, you know, if he tells me something really far-fetched, I probably won't believe him. I'll just think, oh, this is some random guy on the street. But if it's like, you know, my best friend since, you know, like fifth grade and they know my whole life and, you know, if they tell me something, I'll take them pretty seriously. And so, strive to know God, strive to know who He is, what He thinks, and learn to trust Him with everything in your life. So that's pretty much everything I had to say. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for this time. Father, I pray that You would help each of us to put You first in everything, and to trust in You, Lord, that You would move in our hearts and help us to see that Your ways are not our ways, Lord God. Lord, help us to see this, Lord, and help us to have a renewing of our mind to think the way you think, Lord. And I pray that you would help us to seek you out and read your word, Lord, and come to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Uh-oh. Somebody has to rip in their shirt. Any questions? Any questions or anything?
I'll give it to you. I'll see who pulls it sometimes.
What'd you say? Oh. Yeah, anybody have any questions? Or want to talk about anything? I don't know if that's
the
answer.
All my mic checks today were done by reading John 3:16.
Oh, because it's on your monitor.
17 and 18. Well, it's what came to mind. I was what I wanted to do, and then I realized, oh, it's on my monitor. And I said, and I thought to myself, well, it would be a nice thing that I talked about John 3:16. But the Bible's a big book. Out of all the random things that she'll choose to talk about, I don't think she's going to choose to talk about that. And while everyone was going, I did mic checks here in this room on John 3:16.
That's cool. I hope that, I think probably that made a lot more sense when I practiced it, but I think I said things in a better way, but hopefully that made some sense.
I was thinking about, I don't know, who was there to watch the, we watched Zach Bogan talk?
I wasn't there, actually.
You were there.
The Indian man on the video. Mm-hmm.
You were talking about, like,
oh, we were on our honeymoon or something.
Challenges for, like, youth or something.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, because one thing that he said was, you can't, trust is, do you remember, he said trust is spontaneous or something, like you can't force yourself to trust a person at least, I guess.
Mm.
And so, in a sense, like, I guess he was defending against people who might come and say, you must trust me, and, like, people, like, who are leaders maybe of the church who would say, like, you have to trust me because what I say is right. But in a sense, I think that it's kind of like I said. What you said was almost like a tension against that. But I think it makes sense. Like, I mean, we trust God, and then when we see that people are walking with God, we naturally trust them too, as like leaders. Like,
mm-hmm.
So I mean, God obviously we can trust, and we should trust, and it's just sinful not to trust. But then we can choose to trust also people who are, we know are walking with God because they have God in them, and we can trust that. That makes sense. So I was just kind of thinking about that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was gonna, it's true that, like, sometimes, like, you know, like, Freddie, you know, or the people who lead us, they might say things that sound kind of weird, you know, or like, man, why should we do that? Like, you know, like, they're not making sense, they don't know what they're doing, you know, but, like, usually, at least for me, I find out in the end that they're actually right, you know? It's just that, like, you know, and there's a temptation to resist people, too, when they say things to you, but a lot of times, check what they say against the word of God, but a lot of times they're right, so.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Freddie spends time with God, so he knows a lot of things. Yeah, like we had a convention, you know, and he was always saying, well, we'll just, you know, get the best for everything and trust that God will, like, provide us, you know, with the money we need and everything. We're like, no, we're not going to have enough money. We're going to be, like, totally, like, you know, wiped out. And, I mean, we just did. We got the best we could for, you know, we got what we needed and everything. And we had enough money down to, like, we had $5 in our bank account when we were done with it. And then we were all pretty much, like, broke. Because we just, you know, we had $5 in our bank account.
We have enough money for food at one point. We didn't.
Yeah. So basically, all of us, like, to pay for the final bill, like, the final bill, like, all of us put in all the money we had, like, three of us, four of us, Freddie and ourselves, put in, like, all the money we had in our bank accounts, like, pretty much, like.
I didn't have any money to get.
Yeah, he didn't have any money because he wasn't working. And we're, like, our bank accounts were totally empty, so we had no money for food. And that day, like, the day after the convention, in this room they rented out, since it's such a nice room, they have, like, board meetings here. So, like, they had a board meeting here, and apparently for some reason, I don't know why, because it was, like, only, like, two people showed up to the meeting. Like, a big, you know, board meeting, and so they had, like, catered, like, really nice food. And they had, like, all this food. food that nobody had eaten because, like, only two people showed up. And they were like, oh, do you want some? You know, there's, like, free food there. So we basically got, like, a free meal, you know, just, like, we didn't have money for food, but God provided us with the food we needed. And I think I used to get free food from my work. I think it was that week.
Oh, yeah,
I used to get free food. Like, at my work, sometimes they have board meetings or whatever, and when they have extra food, they'll leave it out. And so I think that week was the, like, whenever it happens to be that I need food, like, we don't have enough money, like, right after we got married, too, we pretty much poured all our money into the wedding because we had to pay for it. And so we didn't have that much money for food. And so those weeks when, like, we need food, we don't have money for food, like, we could definitely eat, like, we'd eat, like, peanut butter or something, you know, like, and jelly. It's not like we'd be totally starving, but, like, yeah, and we have a lot of canned, we needed, like, soup for, like, a week, you know. Those days when we, like, have no money to buy extra food, they always put the food out. That's, like, the days when they have the food, the free food at my work. But if I go down, like, the sixth floor, I work on the seventh floor, the sixth floor is where they have the free food. If I go on a day when I, like, have totally so much food, they never have any food. But if I go, like, on a day when I have no, like, that whole week when we had no food, they always had free food there. Yeah. Like, God must have known, like, you know, I think God must have known we were gonna, like, need food that week. So he was like, oh, okay, why don't you guys schedule a you know, like, he must have had my work schedule a conference for that week, you know, so that all the people would be there and eat the food. Yeah, that's kind of funny.
I like what you said about keeping a book. It's not something I do. A book of Thanksgivings for the things that God has.
Yeah, I used to. I haven't kept up with it as much. But
answered prayers.
Because there are so many small things, you know, like you don't even think. There was one day I was going to write it down. I forget, what was it? I couldn't find like Peter's cell phone or something like that. His cell phone was broken, so he needed his old one. And I was probably assuming that I should have put it somewhere good, you know, and we were, like, late for church, like, we really needed to go. So I just, like, got down, I was like, what am I gonna do? I can't find this phone, and we really need this phone, and I don't know where it is. So I got down on, like, my hands and knees, like, at this chair in our living room, and I was like, God, please, 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 please show me where the phone is, right? And then it thought to me, it's in that chair that you're praying on. And I was like, no, it can't be in that chair that I'm praying on. I must just be, like, thinking, you know, oh, it's in, because I'm praying on the chair. But I was like, well, let me at least look. And there I pulled up the thing, and there it was lodged underneath, like, the chair of the couch. So, I mean, that's, like, a really small thing. But when you think about it, that's, like, I mean, it's a pretty amazing thing that it actually happened that way, you know. So, but there's lots of things like that I forget, too. Yeah. But yeah, I think if you ask, you know, there are lots of people in the Bible who ask God to help them to believe, and he showed them lots of things.
Do you think I can get a book like this that says Book of Thanksgivings on it?
Yeah, you definitely can, because I got that. And
that'd be nice.
Well, you can get it down below like that.
I can't get it. I could probably get it there.
You probably could ask, yeah. It costs $5 extra.
Maybe I'll do that.
You look really funny now that your elbow's ripped.
Yeah, maybe I'll do the other one to rematch it. This is a really old shirt.
Oh, you have to, if you're,
it's not that old. You have much older shirts than that.
Clothes, like, quick dust
sackcloth on. Yeah. Reveal my sackcloth. This is my sackcloth underneath. The thermal sackcloth.
Unfortunately, there's nothing to be worried about.
Yeah.
If I do this, I'm going to rip my whole shirt. Sorry, I didn't want to.
Any other questions or comments? Yeah, I guess I think part of, like, why I think about these things is, like, there's a lot of things, like, you know, too, like, on TV or, like, in movies or whatever that we think, like, oh, those aren't so bad, like, whatever. But we don't really realize how much they're influencing. I guess the thing I tend to not like about television is that TV teaches you, like, a lot of... So even if, like, you're not watching anything bad on television, like... So, like, if you're watching, like, a drama, and they're not actually, like, you know, having sex or something right in front of you, something, like, awful that you would think just naturally is bad, there's a way... I guess I stopped I stopped, for a while, I stopped watching TV shows that were, like, you know, blatantly sexual or whatever, or, like, violent or whatever, you know, just had bad stuff in them, that might, you know, tempt me to do something bad. But then I also started realizing that, like, TV show, at least for me, the TV shows, like, they were showing me, they were making certain things seem good, like, they were making certain ways, certain attitudes, like, seem good, or certain ideas seem good. And they're written by people who aren't, or most of them, at least, are written by people who aren't Christian, so, and they basically infuse those ideas into their shows, you know, so I don't know. I guess, like, I used to watch TV, and then there would be, like, certain people, like, I'd be like, wow, it would be really cool to act like that person, you know, or, like, act, like, not, like, in terms of personality, not in terms of, like, you know, like, to be, I don't know, bold like that person, or to be, like, whatever. And then I was realizing, like, you know, that's not necessarily who God wants me to be, so. So, yeah, I guess that was my